This meeting is called to order. Ms. Doyle, would you please call the roll?
Vice Chair Rita Athus.
Present.
Trustee Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Trustee John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Montel Gales.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Here.
Trustee Jacob Summer. Board Chair Eric Watsowitz.
Here. This meeting is being conducted in person and through video conferencing communications pursuant to Public Act 101-0640, enacted June 12, 2020, and Section 7E of the Illinois Open Meetings Act, allowing for virtual board meetings during a disaster declaration related to public health concerns. As Chair of the Board, I've determined that an in-person meeting is not practical or prudent because of the disaster. As such, trustees may attend today's meeting by audio and visual conferencing and not by physical presence. Mr. Perry, would you please confirm that appropriate notice for this meeting has been provided and that we have a quorum present?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You do have a quorum present and appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
May I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
Second, Athus.
We have a motion, we have a second. Is there any discussion? Phone ringing. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, call the roll. Call the question, I should say. Ms. Doyle, would you please take the roll call vote?
Vice Chair Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Yes.
Trustee Jacob Summer. Board Chair Eric Watsowitz.
Yes. I have some comments. This is a special meeting to approve our contract with Braven. I wish we were able to pull all this material together for our March 24 meeting, but we could not get everything together so we could be in compliance with the Illinois dotting the I's and crossing the T's. I want to thank our board for making the time for coming together here today on short notice. And I also want to thank the administration and the University Advisory Council for coming together today for this discussion and vote. The IBHE has made it clear to us that equity for underserved populations in higher education is a priority. We take this very seriously. It is also, in my mind, just the right day. I do want to welcome the University Advisory Committee representatives present today. The current UAC representatives are Greg Beyer, Felicia Bohannon, Peter Chomantowski, Katie Jekyll. Somebody text you that?
Okay. She just knows.
Now can you hear me?
The current UAC, I'm just be able to say Chomantowski. The current UAC representatives are Greg Beyer, Felicia Bohannon, Peter Chomantowski for a third time, Katie Jekyll, Holly Nicholson, and Karen Wedby. Do any of you have any comments, Katie?
Not at this time.
Okay. Anybody? See that. So, we recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Perry, have you received any timely requests to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, we have not received any requests for public comment this morning.
Okay. We'll now move to the President's Report, number 159. President Freeman, will you please present the report?
Thank you, Chair Wasowitz. Agenda item 6A is a request to approve a contract with Braven, Inc. And I want to echo thanks to the board for being willing to hold a special meeting for this approval so we can start to make our students aware of this excellent opportunity as soon as possible and enroll as many students as possible for next fall. The request the university is making is for a collaboration with Braven, a nonprofit corporation who is engaged in activities at a number of university campuses, all of which are focused ultimately on the goal of closing the wealth gap and helping students who are first-generation, low-income, and from other historically underserved communities build social capital, build career-accelerating skills, mentoring relationships, and professional networks to make them more employable. Braven offers students skill development for working in teams, leadership, problem-solving, and communications, operating, managing, and connect students directly to employers through hands-on engagement in a culminating capstone experience. The Braven experience consists of an online accelerator course followed by multiple years of student engagement opportunities with professional coaches, with industry partners, and assessment by universities that are not part of the Braven network has shown that there is significant impact on the strength of the students' first jobs when they leave college if they are Braven Fellows. We are going to be the sixth university that is participating with Braven. The other universities serve students' populations similar to ours, and they have had very, very impressive results. And so we have heard from our students in the feedback we got from the Student Government Association and those that they sought feedback from as we were building our Strategic Enrollment Management Plan 2.0, that students want better opportunities to build their narratives, to build their professional narratives, to understand resume preparation, to understand how to network, to build those connections to industry, and to do it as early as possible in their careers. And so I feel very strongly that this is an excellent opportunity for us to engage a proven and very collaborative partner to bring our students something that will help them succeed post-graduation. From the university standpoint, there are two additional benefits. We know that we want to be recognized around the world and around the country and certainly around our state as a university that advances the economic and social mobility of our students. And this is a tool that will allow us to really increase our ability to do that as well as be recognized for our ability to do that. And also what the experience on other campuses has been in working with Braven is that as you leave the accelerator course and go into the mentoring circles, that this is a great opportunity to bring alumni into the university family in a way that lets them use their time and talent to help the next generation of Huskies succeed. So the provost and I are extremely excited about this opportunity. We've been doing all the groundwork with Braven in the background so that we can launch an engaging campaign to get students registered for the accelerator course next fall as soon as possible. And before I read the university's recommendation, I just want to ask Provost Ingram if she wants to add anything, because she has been leading this effort, being the lead partner, and I want to make sure she's recognized for the tremendous effort that she's put into this.
Well, thank you, President Freeman. And I think you summarized the benefits for our students, for our alumni, for the entire campus of this partnership. And I truly view it as a partnership. We've been working hand in glove with Braven to think about how to take a very successful model at other universities and translate it into the Husky experience, and so that it specifically serves the students that we have here, what their career aspirations are. The only thing I would add in addition to what President Freeman said is that there is some evidence that students actually are more successful in other classes after the accelerator course because they learn how to work in teams, they make social networks, and a lot of the skills that they learn in that course are translatable to upper division courses that they take within their majors. And so the effect of the course and the mentorship is immediately felt at NIU, but then in addition as they enter strong careers. And I'm just so excited that Braven has chosen to be a partner with us in this great endeavor.
Thanks, Beth. And I'll add one more thing before I do the recommendation, and that is Monday night. I had the opportunity to attend the Braven National Board meeting and to speak directly to students and leadership coaches who have participated in this program. And the students were very honest that when they were first looking at this course, they took it hoping to get something out of it, but not with the highest of expectations, because they're very much like all post-COVID students are, a little bit skeptical of an online experience and a little bit skeptical in general. And the students talked about the course and the activities that they followed as transformative, eye-opening, engaging, and something that they are sure is going to carry them to a greater future. And I thought that was the best ringing endorsement for the program that one could hope to hear. So we're talking here about a partnership that includes the course and the follow-up activities provided by Braven for a 5-year period from July 1 of 2022 through June 30th of 2027. The estimated cost for the first year is $400,000 for the program. So that's for the 3-year program for approximately 700 students who we hope to enroll over the course of the first year. And the source of the funding are philanthropic funds that are held by the foundation and the university. And so the recommendation from the university to the board is that the Board of Trustees approve the request to enter into a contract with Braven.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Athens.
Is there a second?
Second, Barsema.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Trustee Barsema.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank both Provost and the President for pushing this forward. I think this is extremely important to supporting the values and the mission of NIU. Going from education to employment is a critical gap that exists on many campuses across the United States, if not all campuses. And so I think this is addressing a very important issue. What I like about using Braven is the fact that they're on 6 other campuses today, or I'm not sure if we're the 6th or 7th, but they're on a handful of campuses today. They are a non-for-profit, but one day they will be on, I'm sure, 60 campuses or whatever the number is going to be. And so we will be able to take advantage of the experiences that they have on the other campuses throughout the country on best practices for a program like this. And so I look forward to being able to not only take what they have today, but I believe that what we're going to see over the coming years through the length of this contract and beyond is going to be something that will continue to improve, continue to iterate as their experiences and our experiences grow with other data points from other campuses around the country. You know, the last thing I would say is that I know that the target audience for this are, you know, underserved communities from a student population standpoint, but this is something that I hope every NIU student takes. This is an extremely important skill set for them to have beyond just what they learn from an education standpoint in the classroom. This is an extremely important skill set for every student to have. So I hope that every student on our campus takes this class.
I share that hope.
Trustee Pritchard.
Good morning. Again, I'm excited with the prospects of this program, but I have a couple of background questions, I guess. You mentioned 700 students the first year?
Yes.
So over 5 years, are you looking at 3,500 students would be impacted, or do you look for this to grow in some other exponential fashion?
So we are hoping that the cohorts can go from 300 and 400 at least up to 500. And that is the plan that we have outlined. There is capacity to take more than that if the demand is there. Mm-hmm. We are benefiting from the fact that as a result of the pandemic, Braven took their accelerator course from an exclusively in-person experience at the campuses where it was initiated, like San Jose State, to an online platform that is robust and engaging, and that allows us to have essentially unlimited capacity and scalability. Mm-hmm. So depending on how our students accept this course, how majors around the campus treat the elective credit. It could grow more rapidly than that, but we feel that this is a skill that as many students as we can possibly accommodate in it will be, should be accommodated.
And you just hit on a point. So is this a credit that will apply towards their graduation, or is it an elective that doesn't necessarily apply to a particular major?
It is a three-credit course that will be counted towards the credits needed for graduation. I think I'm going to ask the provost to talk a little more about why we chose to make it a 300-level course and what the mechanism and vision is.
So, as you know, this will be our first fall of offering the course. It's a 300-level course so that it has the potential to be counted as an elective in a major because of the numbering of the course. The departments are able to explore that possibility, but it's a course like UNIV 101, which we highly have encouraged students to take across majors, and we can continue to explore specific majors that may find it particularly useful.
You mentioned this is a course, so the student will be paying tuition for this course?
It's a credit-bearing course that counts toward their hours to graduation, just like any other course.
Okay. And is there a reason that we need to go to the private sector for this course as opposed to having something embedded in the university in our normal 100-level, as you mentioned, courses?
Do you want to take that first,
sure.
President Freeman, and then I can add some comments?
You know, we have a number of courses that are career prep courses on the university campus. The curriculum there is inconsistent and variable, and many of them focus on the expertise of the discipline that's offering them and highlighting alumni accomplishments and possibilities to promote career exploration. Many of those courses are not offered to students until their third and fourth year. And that's pretty late to have a student start thinking about how they create a narrative around the accomplishments that they have to help them in the working world, how to build a LinkedIn profile. I mean, the College of Business does this relatively well. Many of our other colleges do not. This is a course that's been developed with students like ours in mind. Raven has a national network of Fortune 500 companies from which they draw the leadership coaches and the professional mentors. They have had the experience that they've offered students on the other partner campuses, San Jose State University, Rutgers University, Newark, are two of the older partners. More recently, they've added Lehman College and Spelman College. They've had the experience of those students validated by a research team outside of the Braven network at Stanford University, as well as some collaborators at the University of Illinois Chicago to show its impact. So to be able to deliver something to our students that they need as soon as possible at scale, with a validated model that has a research foundation backing it, and the ability to connect our students as Braven Fellows to employers from around the country in the rest of the Braven network, as well as in Chicagoland, I don't think that we could create this experience at this scale with this quality fast enough, for the same price. This has been a wonderful collaboration. Braven is very particular about the universities that they choose as collaborators. They want a certain mission, vision, values. They want a certain commitment to students. They want students who have a certain mindset and grit and resilience and desire to succeed. And I think that that makes us a great partner, and this is a terrific opportunity that we really couldn't duplicate internally. Beth, I don't know what you want to add.
You know, I'd add two things. First is there is good work going on in the colleges and departments. This is complementary to that. This course will take place earlier and have more fundamental skills embedded in it. The other piece I would add was when we first started talking about this partnership a while ago, but last summer I remember one of the deans saying, oh, does this mean my students could be Braven Fellows? He already knew about the credential and about the national recognition of what it meant to be a Braven Fellow. And that will be a nationally recognized credential for our students to put on their resume and talk about. People will understand what the skills that they have are based on them having that credential on their resume. And I think that's a really important thing as students take jobs both in Illinois but in other places across the country.
So the vision is not that Northern would assume this type of program over a period of years and use the credentials of our graduates and the prestige of our university degree to the same extent as what you're talking about with Braven?
NIU is a prestigious degree, so I didn't mean to infer. It's a different kind of credential that talks about career readiness, about connections to industry. I think one of the, as President Freeman talked about, one of the pieces of this that would be hard for us to replicate are the connections to leading industry partners like J.P. Morgan. And so connecting our students to those kinds of opportunities is critical to their success. So this is a compliment. It's a credential that complements the terrific degree that students get from NIU.
Yeah, let me maybe build on that a little. I think you summarized it really well when you said this is complementary. This is absolutely a scaffold for the university to build other programs upon. In 5 or 10 years, would we still rely on Braven in the same way that we do today, or would the relationship evolve into something else? I think it's always hard to look that far into the future, but I think that this relationship is going to be valuable to our students. I think that it enhances the value of their NIU degree, and I think it allows NIU not just to scaffold additional coursework onto this degree in a way that really benefits our students, but when we're looking to build new relationships with employers and partners and corporate and foundation philanthropy, we have a way to benefit the university and the students by saying, if you're going to come and be a partner with NIU, we can promise you, because of the affiliation and the history we've had with Braven, that the students that we are presenting to you for internship or externship or partnership or clerkship, clinical opportunities, are going to come ready to work, understanding what it means to be a contributor, understanding what it means to be on a team, understanding corporate communications. And because we're presenting students to you at the sophomore level and above who have those qualifications, our expectation of you is that you don't use our students to do menial work in your corporation or employment area, that you offer them internship clinical experiences that allow them to further their critical thinking skills, to really be part of the team. And employers like that because they want our students there because they need to acquire talent. They need to acquire talent from across populations with different lived experiences, and they want our students, all of our students, to come in at a level where they can assess them. And if they're focused on building the basic skills, they can't really assess the long-term ability of that student to serve, and the student can't get the most out of the experience. So I think there are many ways that over time this will just create better value for an NIU degree, better recognition for our university in the marketplace, better recognition for our degree in the marketplace, and most important of all, a better experience and better future for our students.
You comment that the 5-year cost is estimated around $2.3 million. If there are more students, as Trustee Barshima suggests, might enroll in this, does our exposure increase much beyond that?
We can exceed the enrollment targets by up to, I think it's 4%, without an increase in the compensation contract to Braven for the for the platform and the 3 years out. If enrollment goes up, the per student cost goes down, but the cost will have to be renegotiated.
And how do we look to sustain this kind of expenditure beyond 5 years?
Braven and the university will be raising funds for this together. And Braven is becoming the preferred charity of a number of notable corporations. And so over time, I think the vision of Braven and all of its partners is that the cost to universities and the value to students and employers goes up as the philanthropic efforts succeed more and more.
Well, I certainly hope our experience is similar to what Braven has projected here in terms of graduation rates, in terms of employability, and the quality of that first degree. So I wish you much success in this program.
Thank you. And I will point out there is an opportunity for either party, if the relationship isn't working out, with 60 days notice to withdraw from the relationship.
Thank you, Trustee Pritchard.
Anyone else?
I'll just make some comments. I certainly had a lot of the same questions that Trustee Pritchard had, and I've talked rather extensively with both the provost and the president. I think I'm convinced this is a very promising model that is on its way to a best practice. I'm glad that we're getting into this work at this stage so that we can be part of forming this best practice. It's nice to be first. I mean, we're not first, but it's nice to be
sixth.
Close to first and not waiting to see in a very risk-averse way what everybody else is doing and whether it works for them. I think this shows the capacity of the administration to research innovative solutions to a problem. We had to have the resolve to recognize that there's a problem, and then we had to have resolve to seek out an innovative solution to the problem. And I think that's what made us a good partner with Braven, because as the president has already mentioned, they're looking for partners like us, and they find our efforts to be highly credible in this area. And so for all those reasons, I think this is a very good idea and a strong concept. I wish it the very best. I also would add that I think we'll be doing some iteration as we're moving through this process, which is really, I think, important for us to do as a board and as a campus, so that we can start thinking creatively about how to solve some of these problems that we're facing as an institution that all higher education is facing right now. People talk a lot about higher education changing and the fast pace of that change. This is a response to that, and I think we need to see it that way.
Thank you.
Trustee Gales, I electronically, I've been sensing that you have a comment.
I do have a comment. Actually, more of a question. And I think I heard an answer when President Freeman was discussing who would have access to this tool. Initially, when I heard level 300 classes, I thought maybe this was only for upperclassmen. But you did mention sophomores. And I'm assuming at the sophomore level, that's and up, we're marketing this particular class to. And if that's not the case, please comment. But I also wanted to know, how are we marketing the class to the population of our students to let them know value?
So this year, we will make the course open to students at the sophomore level and above. But our target entry for the program going forward will always be sophomores, because to have the full program experience, you need the accelerator course in your sophomore year and the additional mentoring circles and activities as you approach graduation in the out years. Provost Ingram can speak much more detail than I can about the aggressive marketing campaign and materials that we've developed, so I'm going to turn that piece of Trustee Gale's question over to her.
Thank you, President Freeman. We're very excited about the vote today because we want to get started to talk to our students about what a great opportunity it is. Braven has already been a terrific partner working with Saul's Shop with EMMC to develop marketing materials and informational materials that appeal to our students. We're using multiple modalities. We have a very robust email campaign. We know students don't always read their email, so we will also text them and use social media to get the word out. We've, of course, talked to the associate deans and the advisors, and they're all aware of this opportunity. What I like about the campaign is because of Braven's experience at other universities and our experience in messaging our students, the messages look are very clear and concise, but also speak to what students are thinking about. I have a 20-page communication plan sitting open in front of me, so it's very robust, very focused, well-developed.
Well, let me say that I'm excited about it because I can sense the excitement that you all have about the tool, so you definitely got my support.
And I believe you have a student at Spelman too, right?
I do, and I have another coming up in a couple of months.
Okay. And you have one at NIU, too. I just want to make sure everybody
knows that. Yes.
Trustee Athas.
My questions have been answered, and Trustee Gale was the one I was. The program is so good. I was wondering about the marketing also, and I love the fact that you have a 20-page plan ready to go. And I just wanted to second Trustee Barsima's comments about a thank you. The president and the provost. I think what this continues to signify is how much we care about our students, that it's the, you know, a right place for a lot of people, and from beginning to end, we make sure, the university makes sure that they're prepared, and this will really help. So I couldn't be more in favor of this.
Trustee Barsimi.
I might have missed it in the materials that we reviewed, but what was the curriculum review process that this, since this is a 3-credit-hour class and it does go across, I'm assuming, all of the colleges, what was the process relative to this being approved from a curriculum standpoint?
It went through the normal process for approval of a course, which is to create a template for the course and take it to the baccalaureate council for approval, and they approved it as a course offering, I believe, in February. And I just wanted to do a little shout out to Omar Grayab, who managed that process for us and has also been doing a lot of the work on that piece of the partnership.
Okay, great.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Provost Ingram, but you know, our faculty who sit on these committees do due diligence. Mm-hmm. They take these things seriously. Yeah. Didn't a number of them reach out to colleagues at the other Braven institution and get positive feedback?
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. Omar, when we were speaking yesterday, reminded us that, yes, many of the faculty who sit on the Baccalaureate Council have colleagues at some of the other institutions and reached out to them to ask about the course and its success and its curriculum, and got very positive feedback from their other faculty colleagues at those other institutions.
Right. And my other question, as I see our leader from a foundation standpoint here in the room, how do you plan to use this from a fundraising standpoint and alumni engagement? Because I can see us using this as a vehicle for alumni engagement, including fundraising for this program. So can you speak a little bit about the plans or the ideas that you might have?
Sure, and thank you for the question. So the foundation's very excited about this. We've been in the conversations from the beginning. And just so you didn't ask me this question, but if you'll indulge me for 1 second, the funding that President Freeman mentioned is really two parts. There will be a grant from the NIU Foundation's own unrestricted assets. We feel so strongly that this is a program the foundation should invest in, that there will be part of the funding for the first year in a direct grant to the university. The second part is we are beneficiary, as we all know, of some legacy restricted funds that are under the university's aegis from a agency funds perspective, and we do have some funds that we believe are appropriate, so we were able to put together the suite of funds, which really is a great story to tell philanthropists, who we hope in the campaign you'll be hearing more about soon, that this is a program that's marquee for the university, that there is philanthropy that's already driving its implementation, and going into a campaign where student success is a pillar for us, this will be a program that we're able to hold out and hold up from a case perspective to prospective donors in the campaign. As Lisa mentioned, there are huge opportunities in the corporate sector, and I think for those of you who've heard about the great success that's been the Presidential Advisory Council already, with many C-suite executives and foundation leaders sitting on what's a relatively new initiative, has allowed us to network with the corporate sector in a way that we haven't before. I imagine this program will be top on the list of things we're able to talk about with the existing Braven partners that happen to be in our geography, but also with new corporate partners where we can expand that portfolio. I think there's great potential, and all under the banner of a comprehensive campaign is very exciting. So
they have a very impressive list of corporate partners here in the Midwest that
they do.
Have signed up to support their fellows.
Yes.
So I look forward to us taking advantage of those relationships.
Absolutely.
With those companies. It was a very, very impressive list of companies.
Indeed. Thank you.
If I could add one thing, you know, I said I went to this board meeting on Monday night, and they had a panel of the Atlanta Braven Group, and one of the people on the panel was a corporate employee who served as a professional mentor to the students. And just as the students talked about being Braven Fellows as a transformative experience, this individual talked about being a Braven mentor as a transformative experience, said that, I've gone in and I've told my success story to students before, and I thought I really had this and I knew everything about them, but the structure and the training I had to go through, the quality of the interactions that I've had with the students as a result, it helps me do my job better working and coaching new employees, and it gives me just an incredibly different worldview. And I thought that was a really nice outcome for the program that probably they didn't go in thinking was going to be right up there, but it was a compelling testimony.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? So I have a couple of thoughts here. As usual, our board has answered every one of my questions and asked every one of the questions that I would have had. I guess I feel like I knew Braven very well already because I've sat in on things that we've done with the foundation. We saw a presentation months ago on what we were looking to do. So I think from the corporate world standpoint, again, addressing some of Bob and John's concerns here, I think these are things that don't come easily if we're doing this from just pure Calvin. Going out to the world. So I'm excited, really excited about that part of it. You know, as we talk about social capital, there's also such a thing as leadership capital. And I was at dinner with President Freeman last night, and I said that I'm taking a course at the end of this year at the Booth School. And one of the professors, Professor Linda Ginzel, actually talks about, and I looked up at my notes, and I did write Braven right here. I was talking to you about this last night, and one of the things that she talks about, and she talks about the father of social psychology, and has all of her students read Kurt Lewin, but he states that behavior is a function of the person and their environment or their situation, and if you're coming from an underserved type of environment, you need that boost up, and that's why I think things like this are just so important. And I was just amazed to be sitting there on a plane a couple days ago reading this, and I wrote Braven in on that. It's at the forefront of my mind. And so I'm excited about this. It definitely aligns us in a lot of ways, not only with the IBHE, but also just with our mission, vision, and values and what we're doing as a university. So
there certainly are a lot of unwritten rules when you're entering the marketplace and trying to get your first job. And even if your parents are professionals, but they're medical professionals or they're teachers, and they're not familiar with the corporate workplace, you don't really have the role models and the insider knowledge, those unwritten rules, to get the most out of what you're doing. And so I think helping our students play on a fair field is so important.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm so excited that you wrote Raven on your notes from your class.
I told you I did. So yes, exactly. Anyway, is there any other discussion? Okay, we will call the question. Ms. Doyle, would you please call the roll call vote?
Vice Chair Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Jacob Summer? Board Chair Eric Watsowitz?
Yes. Motion carries. Freeman.
All right. Agenda item 6B is an information item. We're all sorry to hear that Dean Linda Ransdell from the College of Health and Human Sciences is leaving NIU at the end of this academic year. She's returning to Boise State University and a community where she has strong personal ties as the result of previous employment. She'll be joining Boise University as a department chair in kinesiology, her home discipline. As we embark on the search to find her successor in the college, we will be using an executive search firm. We will be doing it pursuant to the provisions of Public Act 970814 and the university's policies. And as part of compliance with those policies, we are just informing you of our intention to use a search firm and to keep you posted on the progress of that search.
So we don't even need a motion on this at all?
We do not.
So thank you for the information. Appreciate that. Are there any other matters requiring the attention of the board today?
Can I just ask you one question about the previous information item? In the corporate world, and I don't know how it works in the academic world, but in the corporate world, a lot of times if somebody that the search firm brought to the company leaves within the first year, there's some rebate back of the search fees that we paid them if we use them again for the next search. Is there any of that available to us here, or
that is typically a provision of the contracts that we make with executive search firms? There is an applicability issue in this particular case because of the search firm performance in the previous search.
In other words, we won't use them again. That's what we're trying to say. Yeah. Any other matters requiring the attention of the board? Okay. Hearing none. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the full Board of Trustees is June 16, 2022, daughter Tessa's birthday, at 9 a.m. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Ms. Doyle, would you please take a roll call vote to close the public meeting?
Vice Chair Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Jacob Summer? Board Chair Eric Watsowitz.
Yes. Meeting is adjourned.